Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Has anyone reported how much of the 3.5 years left on his deal that Gain's going to cash in on? Is it all guaranteed?
Yeah, I believe it is. That seems to be what McClain was saying on Friday last week.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I see that the Jets kind of broke the bank? They're paying Douglas like $3 million a year?
That's what I was saying earlier when you brought up Douglas saying, hey, well, Douglas is off the market. Rich, they basically had to show up at his house with a gigantic publisher's clearinghouse check.
Wow.
A big cardboard check with a Sharpie saying, here, fill in the amount. That didn't literally happen, but it feels like that's what happened because he rejected them a couple times.
Yeah.
Finally, they basically like doubled their offer to him and made it so that they made him an offer he couldn't refuse, basically.
Yeah, apparently.
Hopefully his brains don't wind up on the contract like that dude in Godfather 2, or hey, Godfather 1.
Maybe he owes Brian Gain a little scratch for making it a little more urgent for the Jets.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, because Douglas was obviously a guy the Texans were interested in about a year and a half ago.
Right, right. If you want to get in, we're taking your calls. 713-572-4610. 713-572-4610. So, with respect to O'Brien, Rich, actually, before we get to this, let me just reset because we have an article on the website. Because people are probably getting into cars and tuning in top of the hour. Seems to be a reset sort of time. We have an article on sportsradio610.com. And I guess the latest, just so you're up to speed, the latest on the hiring process for the Texans with respect to their general manager, their open general manager spot, is this. There's an article that John Lopez has up on the website. And the Texans expect to have their fourth general manager in franchise history in place by Friday, with Nick Caserio from the New England Patriots, the director of player personnel for the New England Patriots, likely the choice, according to a source telling Sports Radio 610. I'll also mention John McClain just tweeted out a link a short time ago where he reports the Texans placing the request to the Patriots to interview Nick Caserio. And I guess just to clarify something, because people go, well, this is the guy they wanted last time and they couldn't interview him. As Albert Breer outlined earlier on this station earlier today with Mike and Seth on Mad Radio, the last time the Texans wanted to interview Nick Caserio, the Patriots were in the middle of a deep playoff run, so they couldn't interview him. That's obviously not the case in June, and if the Texans are offering Nick Caserio a step up in terms of responsibility or title, which general manager is over the title he has now, with Breer basically saying if they put him having final say of the 53 in his contract, which, by the way, Brian Gain had in his contract, then extricating Nick Caserio from New England to come here to Houston is not a problem in terms of Belichick being able to block it.
What John tweeted is essentially the Texans are extending a courtesy to the Patriots that they don't really have to extend. They can't be denied permission to talk to Caserio as long as what you said is the case.
Yep. So if we are putting a big board together right now for new Texans GM, Nick Caserio is a minus 2,000 favorite in the Pender Lord Sportsbook.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Huge favorite.
And on sportsradio610.com, as Sean just mentioned, it's definitely worth you taking a couple of minutes and going through what John Lopez has put together. Because I think as a Texans fan, you're going to like what John is saying that is about to happen.
Yeah. I think one of the most interesting things about the next year, maybe 2 years, Rich, given the decision that Cal McNair made last Friday, the unprecedented decision with respect to this organization, who I think historically some would say stuck with general managers too long rather than getting out at times when other general managers around the league might have gotten fired. Rick Smith, 2010, 2013, he managed to hold on to his job.
Hey, try Gary Kubiak, 2010.
Yeah, but just GMs I'm talking about here. So, Brian Gain being the third general manager in team history, getting fired a year and a half in, this is a different type of behavior for the organization. Cal's only been on the job a short period of time. So this may be a new heightened sense of urgency, maybe less averse to change or risk than Bob McNair was when he was running the team. I think the most interesting thing with respect to that, Rich, is that, while Bill O'Brien, I'm sure, had input into everything that has gone on and is going to go on over the next few days with the new GM, is what will the record be in 2019 that would make Cal McNair make a similar decision next year with the head coaching position? Because the only times that the team has ever fired a head coach in the history of the franchise was the two seasons they went 2-14.
Yeah,
2005,
Capers and Kubiak.
2005 and 2013.
But with Kubiak, you know, there were obviously times in his career where Texans fans were scratching their head going, why is he still the head coach? And I think there are some people saying that about O'Brien right now also, despite the division titles.
And that's my point, is that there were times where Bob McNair, where most owners would have fired Gary Kubiak after 2010.
There's no question
about
it.
Let's face it. Hadn't made the playoffs.
Coaching hires.
Yeah. Bad staff hires. Came into 2010 with all kind of buzz. And then 2010, they just fell on their face. And most owners would have fired him then. And that's my overall point, Rich, is that the only two times that head coaches have been fired in the history of this franchise were obviously both with Bob McNair as the owner, and they were both in seasons that wound up at 2-14. Practically the worst that you can do in the NFL. If Cal McNair's level of this threshold for performance with the general manager position, which is clearly above the equivalent of a 2-14 record. I don't look at Brian Gain as being a 2-14 kind of GM. Maybe he was 7-9 or 8-8. We don't know. He wasn't here really that long. Will the same thing be applied to the head coach? Will Cal McNair's threshold for at least putting a coach on the hot seat, if not changing a head coach, be 4-12? Will it be 6-10? They were 11-5 last year. Will it be 8-8, 9-7?
To your point, the buck did not stop with Cal McNair when the Texans gave Bill O'Brien a contract extension off a 4-12 season.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that Bob McNair was still with us at that time.
Right.
Yeah. So that to me is one of the most intriguing things going into this season, because if you're applying the same degree of urgency to head coach that you just applied to general manager, then I mean theoretically 8-8 or 9-7 shouldn't be good enough. Now, to be clear, I think if Bill O'Brien goes 8-8, he'll be back in 2020. Some of it may depend on how it looks,
Exactly.
You know, if the reasons were on the offensive side of the ball, which is his side of the ball, then maybe evaluated a little differently.
A big part of getting the extension off 4-12 was the reality that Deshaun Watson got hurt. And
yes,
we saw a brief period of brilliance from the rookie, and then he went down and the season went down with him. And I think the thought was, and I think rightly so, that it wasn't O'Brien, it was more the absence of Watson that contributed to 4-12.
Yeah, but I think there are a lot of people, Rich, that were going, okay, we get it.
Oh, I'm not saying he's immune from criticism.
No.
But
no.
I think that's what saved him.
Yeah, clearly, because he went 4-12. No, absolutely. But I think there were a lot of people going, that's fine, don't fire him, but you don't have to give him a 4-year extension also. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, somewhere in between makes sense. And look, I'm optimistic about O'Brien. I think if they get the offensive line in place, I think this can be an offense that scores a bunch of points. They got a lot of improvements that need to be made on the defensive side of the ball. And make no mistake, I'll mention it for the 8 billionth time, the schedule this year is not conducive to a head coach trying to establish that this is my thing going forward.
Right.
This is an 8-8 schedule for the Texans.
And let's not forget that 4-year extension off a 4-12 season came with 1 year remaining on his deal.
Yes.
So it was a 5-year commitment to Bill O'Brien off a 4-12 campaign.
Yeah, I think, honestly, Rich, if someone had said, we're going to keep you, but we're going to make you coach this last season, and I know you don't like the whole lame duck thing, I think it would have been perfectly acceptable to go, then coach out this last season. Let's see how you do with your first full season with Deshaun.
Yeah, I would have been better with a 2-year extension off that 1 year remaining.
Maybe, and if they go 0-3 to start the season and you got a head coach who's in the last year of his deal, then are they able to, you know, to pull the plane out of the nosedive, so to speak, is a fair thing to wonder. But that'll be the most fascinating thing to me this season will be, and I hope we don't have to experience it because I want the Texans to do well, but if the Texans are an average to below average team, then what? Is there a hot seat? Is there a change?
Which in June is what you're predicting to happen.
I'm predicting they go 8-8.
I mean, you're taking the under on that 8.5 win total.
Barely, but I am taking the under on the 8.5 win total. And I think if they go 8-8 next year, Rich, there's going to be a lot of people calling for Bill O'Brien.
And we probably should have that conversation if they go 8-8. But like you said, a lot of it's going to depend on how they looked getting to that point.
To your point about 2010. You know, Kubiak's side of the ball was still pretty damn productive. You know, he's an offensive coach. It was a defensive collapse.
They squandered so many late game leads.
But ultimately, as the head coach, you're responsible for something like that. I'm telling you right now, the folks who probably need to be sitting on pins and needles and sitting on it. Like, if I'm Mike Devlin right now, I'm terrified about what's going on, right? Yeah. Because this is now you've got an owner that has made a move that is clearly a move that signifies urgency and immediacy. And if I'm Mike Devlin, I was already the offensive line coach. If I'm Mike Devlin, then I was probably already a little bit nervous about, can I get my group moving in the right direction?
But rightly so.
But when you consider the fact that the moves they made are all moves where you go, these are moves that are either injured veterans or guys that aren't going to be good for 2 years, probably.
Yeah.
A little nerve-wracking.
But there's also, you know, Suofilo. There's also Nick Martin, who's an okay player, but some are predicting is not going to be a very productive player moving forward. Honestly, Sean, I'm amazed that Devlin's still the O-line coach.
Yeah, no, my point is that if I'm Devlin and I'm going, okay, how can I make this work, and I'm looking at what's been handed to me,
sure,
then I'm a little nervous about what's been handed to me, not because Titus Howard can't become a good player or Max Sharping can't become a good player.
But it might take a while.
Yeah, they're young. Yeah, they're young.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.